All right, everyone. Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Isn't local radio great? This is a great morning. Good morning, John Marks and Glenn Cook. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's open up. We'll start with John Marks. So we had you on a year ago. If I would say, John Marks, what has happened?
Oh, my God. Where do you want me to start? Okay, change jobs. I work, you can call me the communications coordinator, or you can call me whatever you want, a storyteller, with Rock Valley Physical Therapy after 35 years.
Good gig, man.
It's a great gig. I got to leave the other job with a lot of dignity. So, great time. Moved, actually, from Bettendorf to, Coralville. And, so my son could play high school football, and he played at Iowa City Regina. And, of course, you know.
State champion.
So you won a state championship. Yep. And that's it. That way. Survived a derecho. My house still isn't fixed.
And when you were here a year ago, your house flooded.
Flooded, so yes.
Maybe 2021 will be a better year for you.
I hope so. I have no complaints, obviously.
But I know Cook wants to correct you immediately when you said storyteller. He's like, wait a minute, I'm the storyteller. What about, you just aged another year, right, Glenn Cook?
Yes, I did. I'm 29 this year. And looking forward to, now I turned 80 this summer, but
Jesus.
I look it, but I don't feel it.
How was the Last Supper?
You know, I catch so much from Johnny and
Randazzo and all our boys, right, Jason Foy. Yes.
Right. So, but no, it's been a great year and same old, but this COVID has been a bad thing for the high school kids and college kids, and I just feel really bad for everybody concerned like
that. Well, and I know when I've talked to you guys before, and one of the main reasons I love having personalities and people like you on is I think we're in an agreement that, well, I would say Johnny Marks enjoys life, Jim Taylor enjoys life, thankful for his opportunities, Glenn Cook has been thankful for his opportunities, and I think a lot of it has to do with kind of, associating and being around young people involved in interscholastic athletics or activities or whatever. And I know Coach Cook has said that a lot of times. That kind of keeps me young. He said that. And I agree with that, too, because when you deal with young people, the majority of them, it's glass is always half full, not half empty.
It's full with some of the young people that we deal with.
And that rubs off on me, and I think that rubs off on you two guys too.
I'm speaking from, and this is like year 27 for me, and even though we all skipped a year, you're surrounded. I'm surrounded by the Jerry Burke kids of this world. I was surrounded by the Chris Lemons, Glenn Cooks, the Dave DeJager, Todd DePorters, people of that ilk, and then you deal with young people. You know what? They all have their quirks. It's never a perfect day in the world. But when they get to the practice field, whether it be a football or baseball, Jimmy, they are night and day, and they really want discipline. I know we all say, you know, we push them too hard. They want to be told. They want to be showed what to do, how to do it the right way, and they follow. And the rewards for them is worth every second that we spend with them.
I know, and Coach Cook, you bring up a good point. And Coach Cook and myself and Collie Welter,
yep,
we were visiting a mutual friend that was in prison.
Had contact with the other day.
So how it works, and I think I've shared this story before, and Glenn can talk about this. So we drove to Taylorville, Illinois, Taylorville Correctional Center, 3-hour drive, right? And meet the inmate for 4 hours. You can meet up to 4 hours, and it's weird because it's like design seating, you have to specifically sit in. I mean, it's a really situation where it's this unbelievable experience that puts a lot of things in perspective. So then we speak for 4 hours there and then come back 3 hours in back. So what is that? Eight, that's 4, 7, 10 hours. All right. So I know a lot of the conversation with Coach Welter and Coach Cook, the one thing that I learned from it, not being a coach, is I remember they were talking about, and I'm paraphrasing here, but basically saying kids know if you care about them. They're smart enough. And that's the one thing I gained that day, is kids are smart enough to know if you're invested in their life. And sometimes maybe that involves you being a little bit tougher on them, or whatever life advice you can give them. But I remember that day, and I just wanted to tell Coach Cook that meant a lot to me that day, participating and getting a chance to just listen to that conversation.
Thanks, John. Jim, that was a great day. I learned a lot, from Cully. I really did that day. Johnny knows what kind of a coach I was. You do. I mean, if I was anything, it was trying to establish a relationship with kids. What I knew about baseball, that's up for grabs, whether or not I knew anything about the game. But the one thing that I have, it's an old saying, kids don't care what you know as long as they know that you care.
Yep.
And that is a true statement that it took me about 5 minutes to realize at my first practice. They'll push you to the limits, and they'll test you and everything. And if you back away or if you don't stand up to them, they'll run right over you. They want you to tell them, no, you can't do that.
Yep.
Wear your caps the right way. Put your shirts in. They want that. And if you don't, they'll run over you.
Are you going to wear your hat backwards today, John Morris?
Absolutely not. Now, here's – okay, and you guys will find this funny. And I'm not harking back. The state championship, there's a photo. My son was starting linebacker and center, and there was a photo of that he asked me to send to a couple people of the linemen, the offensive linemen together with the trophy. He's holding the trophy. And they hadn't shaved since the playoffs, so he had a mustache. It looked horrendous, absolutely. And I made him shave at the Unidome that day. The other part of it is he had his hat on backward for the photo.
Oh, no.
And I must have heard from 50 people saying, how in the beep, 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 beep did you allow him? And I wasn't even there. I mean, I couldn't get to the photo. But, yeah, that was – they all want discipline, Glenn. Yes, they all want to be told. And the other part of it is I learned a long time ago and I can't remember which coach it was, the day I stop a yelling at you or I'm in your face or in your grill – is the day you know I don't care.
That's the day to be worried.
That's the day to be worried. The day I don't correct something or I'm on you or pat you on the back, whatever. The day I stop talking to you is your worst day because I gave up on you.
Yep.
I haven't experienced that yet, but that's what I tell the young people that we deal with is, hey, that if that day comes, I'm sorry. I tried.
I'm just curious from your perspective, John, the COVID situation in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, I'm just, your take on following the story in Illinois, and you had tough decisions involving your son. You had to physically move so he
could. And we followed every rule, yes.
Yeah. So just take us through that process for you.
First of all, and only because I might be her biggest fan, one of the greatest things that ever happened to the IHSA is Katie Hassan. And just as an athlete who was a great athlete, as an administrator, I think as good a principal as there is, as somebody who understands young people and understands the coaching side of it, I'm a huge fan. I had discussions with her, and she and Craig Anderson is another amazing guy. And, whatever any hard thoughts over the years to the IHSA certainly went out the window with the effort that it has made to make sure there is high school sports. And I still believe there will, which is one of the reasons we may move back. To that, though, it's frustrating. We practiced we were on the field a year ago, March, whatever, when the diocese pulled us off the field at all on baseball. And I thought, okay, 2 weeks, we're right back together. Yeah. We're going to work. Then young people. There's my son's best friend is Zach Carpita, who's a tremendous athlete at Allman High School. He's going to go play at North Central in baseball. I watched other athletes go and get to play and do things. And I watched people like him who works every day have his baseball season and then his fall football season taken from him. He's a young person of great character, but I see that in his eyes that it's not fair. And to that, though, it's a struggle. I hate wearing this mask. I loathe it. We all do. I think we've turned the corner. I think there'll be hope. I think there'll be sports. in the spring in Illinois, only because of the great work by the people like Katie and Coach Anderson. But it has been certainly, and I'm not going to get into the political side of how much I don't like the governor in Illinois, but there has to be a give and take. If you take Chicago out of the equation, Jim, and then we all, you understand, it's affected. You talk about relationships. Look what you've established all these years. Or guys like Matt Randazzo in television with, you know, okay, Iowa kids are great too, but Illinois kids offer something that Channel 8 wants to see.
Yeah, so, and that's the thing that, you know, from my standpoint, and I think Coach Cook can attest to this too, is, you know, when people talk about a national, the only political thing I'm going to say here is when you talk about a national COVID strategy, I wish there would have been a national COVID strategy, but there wasn't. And by that, I mean some uniform thing across the country where it's either you all can or you all can't. And I think that's the frustration for Illinois. Because if Iowa, for us in the western Illinois area, if Iowa was in the same boat as us in Illinois and they weren't playing,
right.
I mean, people would be frustrated here in western Illinois, but not as much because they can't default and say, well, they're playing. And I got to go down to Muscatine Blacktop.
Exactly. Great point.
And I can watch kids play there. What is so different about over there compared to Illinois?
Glenn can jump in. That's my thing. Jimmy, I can stand at the Rock Island County Courthouse, and I can go 2,700 feet, and I can do whatever I want. But then I go back the other 2,700 feet, and I can't do a thing. What's the difference?
Well, but, yeah, I got to go back to, this is an old man talking here, and I wasn't around when.
80.
When,
80. Yep,
when,
our guy.
I wasn't around when Jefferson drew this up. But I heard rumors. Anyway, it's individual states. There's 50 states, and that makes up the United States. It isn't. I mean, it's one country, but each state is totally different. You know,
I understand that.
Yeah. So.
And I understand the population of one state that borders Illinois is a little smaller than is much smaller than than another. But my goodness.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I agree with what John's saying there, or Jim's saying there, too, about the COVID. That there should have been a national policy. At the same time, in a little defense of Captain Comeover, as you like to call him, this has never happened before. This is a new, totally new field or a new disease or new whatever that's come out there. I went brain dead as I'm good at. So
it's okay.
But
they call it a pandemic.
A pandemic. There we go. That's the word.
Oh boy.
That's a tough word for me. Anyway, I got to give him a little slack there. And I'm not. I'm not sticking up for Captain Comeover. He's in another world.
All right, but here's the thing, and I'm just curious from your perspective, John, from following this as a media standpoint, and the interesting thing for me is getting back to the IHSA here. All right, so when we look to kind of November was a fluid month. Now, I say this right now, that if you remember, the IHSA came out and said, well, we're gonna play. Starting in November, I think November 16th is going to be the start date. And then a couple of days later, the governor had said, no, we want basketball to be played. He says in the spring, but he doesn't quantify what does that mean. And then the IHSA came back and said, no, we're going to play. We're going to let it, but it's going to be member schools. It's going to be their it's going to be
districts.
It's going to be their decision if they want to play or not. Now, my contention is, if, let's say, 75% of the schools said, we'll play, I bet you we'd be playing now.
Yep.
But 75% of the schools did not say that. The majority said, no, we can't, we're not going to play because IDPH and the governor's office now has resurrected these Tier 3 mitigations, and we can't get the sign-off with liability insurance or whatever. But I still say if 75% still said, we're going to play anyway,
we'd be
there'd be a game tonight in Western Illinois.
You're exact. But to that though, the dude in Springfield, Jabba the Hutt, decided that I'm going to hold funding over your head.
Yeah, the threat of that.
But that's what stopped it off.
75% of the schools still said we're going to play.
Yep, you're right.
They would have played. Exactly. And that's, see, that's the problem, though, I have with that. That's where some of the criticism comes in to the IHSA. Those people are saying, well, why aren't they letting us play? Well, they did. They said it's a local control issue.
Yeah.
So it's up to you if you play or not. And I understand the position of the local school saying, well, wait a minute, man. If they're threatening state funding, or if we're concerned about our insurance carrier saying we don't have the liability coverage, then we probably can't play.
But
so there's a lot of, you know, because the former superintendent at Rock Ridge always used to tell me there's two distinct viewpoints in life, and that's from the inside looking out.
Yep.
And then from the outside looking in. And from the outside looking in, it's such an easy decision.
It's an easy
decision.
And the inside, but there's no talk about liability. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So that insurance carriers have it over us.
All right. Well, we got a lot more coming up here. How about this, man? John Marks and Glenn Cook on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Please stick around.
For the runners and walkers on your Christmas list, there's only one place you need to run to, and that's 6140 Run. You'll find stocking stuffers such as sunglasses, socks, headbands, and other accessories. Plus, look at the Theragun, the compact, powerful massage device that's as mobile as you are. If you're not sure exactly which shoe or work boots to buy, get gift cards for those you're shopping for. 6140 Run is your one-stop shop for the runners and walkers on your holiday gift list. 6140 Run, 218 East Main Street in Galesburg.
This is the story of Charlie. Nice guy, hardworking, but like a lot of others, he was displaced these last few months. Okay, he got laid off. Charlie and his family are doing okay, but there are some things that aren't. What about those expenses piling up? What savings are left? Playing catch-up down the road isn't a great option, but his country financial representative showed him how he can stay on track. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your country financial representative, okay? Okay.
Contact your country financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Viola, see me, Troy Mayhew.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Hey, what's taking you so long?
I'm tied up ordering supplies. This from there, that from here.
You know, office specialists have everything your office needs, and they're fast, friendly, and affordable.
Office specialists can really handle everything?
You name it. Toilet paper, floor mats, paper towels, vacuum cleaners, even stuff for the break room. And ordering is simple at osi.biz. They offer reliable weekly free delivery, and a sales consultant visits the office to answer questions and take orders. You just can't beat the personal service of a locally owned one-stop shop.
That's Office Specialists in Galesburg.
Buying new is out of the question. The next best option, a quality pre-owned vehicle at a sweet price. But where to start? Progress Park Auto Sales should be first on your list and will probably be the last too once you find yourself in a warranted vehicle from their lot that is just what you were looking for. Did I say warranted? I sure did. Most of their vehicles come with a comprehensive warranty. And if they don't have what you want, they'll find it for you. Open every weekday to serve you. Progress Park Auto Sales, Route 17, Aledo.
Jim Taylor with John Marks and Glenn Cook on a Saturday morning, our holiday edition of Sportsline. And we'll be off 2 weeks and then back with you in early January. And hopefully at that time we'll actually be talking about games potentially being played within the IHSA and within Illinois. You know, just a few more comments here about COVID, okay? You know, the other thing is we've kind of been in a holding pattern here in Illinois, and a lot is, you know, it's funny, you know, following this story, and I tell a lot of people, I remember in March last year, you know, we thought, okay, well, they had to make the tough, agonizing decision of canceling the state basketball tournament, and you knew that was coming after the NCAA and the conference tournaments and colleges made those announcements. But you sat there and you thought, well, we'll play spring sports.
We got track and baseball.
Yeah, yep. So then as, you know, each week went by, eventually you're like, well, okay, then the IHSA made the tough decision of we're not going to play spring sports. And then you thought, well, clearly we know football's happening.
And easily.
And you get to the fall and football doesn't happen. And now you get to, you know, November and basketball and wrestling don't happen. So I get the frustration. But the other thing that I noticed that, you know, following this story for me is – the regardless of what happens, right, it's not going to be a perfect plan because it's not a normal year. So I know whatever plan is ever announced, there's always immediate, it's not, well, we're thankful we're playing. It's the criticism of why are they doing this or why are they doing that? Because it's not going to be normal. This year's not going to be normal. So whatever happens, it's not going to be a normal year. So people have to get that through their heads that it's going to be a weird finish to the school year if we get a play at Hall. And my approach is whatever the kids get, that's the best case scenario, and you should be happy about that because it's just not going to be perfect.
By the time that happens, Jimmy, it could be 11 months, maybe 10 months, shortest term, that a young person in this state hasn't competed for his or her high school, other than golf and cross country. Yeah. I apologize for that. But the other side of it is there are a lot of frustrated young people, I think, might have an influence on mom and dad. That, hey, let's just go with what we got because I at least get to put that uniform on for X amount of days. I get to have my whatever. I'll use one quick point with my son and Iowa football. Opening night was senior night. You know, usually you didn't know that you were going to get.
Exactly.
You never knew if you're going to get to the end. So as long as you can have that and you can tell your athletes, thank you, we appreciate you. I think there'll be a smile. And then you just move on to the next level.
And I would say this, and I know Glenn Cook coached baseball, and I think if we go along in January, okay, and we still are unsure of what's going on, my belief is then I think the IHSA should just redirect and say we're going to wait until spring and we're just going to have a traditional spring sport season because that whole spring sport season got canceled last school year, and they were at least last school year able to play, you know, football and have a basketball season. So I do think if you go along here in January and nothing happens, I think that's my belief. The next course of action, we just have to try and figure out, can we play a normal spring season?
You know, some of the worst weather we have in the Midwest is in early spring. You know,
boy, I mean, do I know that.
Think about, you know, they're talking about the middle of March to start the football season, correct?
Yeah. Well, middle of February, actually, practice.
Practice, February 15th. But I mean, as far, they could somehow practice in a gym, I suppose, or something.
By the
way,
Cook's going to start whining about having to stripe the field
when it's
22 below. Get your Carhartts on, man.
Get your Carhartts and grab your string.
Cold, that's one thing, but got snow, a foot of snow. I mean, how many times have you gone out for baseball practice at the beginning of the year and be snowed out? I mean, you're more apt to get snow in early March, mid-March, than you are now. I mean, it's I think the weather is going to play a huge part, especially in northern Illinois. Southern Illinois is a different story, I suppose. But up here, it's going to be tough playing football at that time of year.
They'll take it, though.
Yeah, that's right. They'll take it.
We'll all take it.
But it's like, you know, from an Iowa standpoint, too, you know, and we can get in this whole discussion about the definition of high risk, medium risk, and low risk sports. And I know that was a lot of the agony of basketball coaches where you go in, you know, basically from late October to early November, in like a week, they just said, well, we're going to change basketball here in Illinois from a medium risk to a high risk. And the National Federation, it still remains a medium risk. And that's, you know, quantifying things. That's the thing that's the big issue, is quantifying what the definitions are. That's what everybody's trying to figure out. Where do we have to be in order to play? And nobody seems to tell
nobody
us that.
Definite,
and nobody will answer that.
And don't say that you can play with a mask on, because you can't. And I can show you physically. I can show you what happens with the first drill. It's over the nose. Second drill, it's on the lip. And the third drill, it's on the chin. So don't. I'm sorry, but here's the other side to that, Jim. They're wrestling in Iowa.
Well, and that's why I say it's like a completely different planet sometimes when you're like, because I didn't realize that, and I was following my Twitter the one day, and I'm like, there's a dual wrestling meet in the MAC tonight. What?
But again, if you try it, and I'm not reverting back to Iowa, I apologize to those of you listening, but my son's first high school football game was scheduled against Dyersville Beckman. They played Pleasant Valley, Class A school, playing a 4A school. Just because COVID hit on Monday. Second week, they went to Clear Lake, 3.5 hours. COVID hit on Monday, found an opponent, bigger school. It's just kids just want to go play. You find a way. They worked around. And with the IHSA that we have, it can work and make it. They can work around schedules. Just pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And if COVID hits, then you shut it down for 10 days. But then you try to make it work as best you can.
All right. And so Dyersville-Beckman, you said.
Yes.
So are they going to play? That's where the Field of Dreams is at.
Yep.
Are they going to play high school baseball games at that facility? You know,
they're trying.
They're going to play some games there with the Major League renovation.
Yep.
That'd be a great opportunity.
The Major League, you know, if you notice the original field, the whole new breakdown is just to
the southwest
of the facility. Yeah. So, yeah, they're trying to make that into one of those facilities for everybody. That's what they've been trying to do since the one company bought it, is make it something like TBK, make it something like County and Des Moines and places like that to bring in a youth and high school tournaments.
Are you worried, and I'll ask both of you guys this, I'll start with you, John. Are you worried about, club sports with, you know, the segue from COVID and kids not having the opportunities with interscholastic athletics in Illinois, that the impact of club sports becoming more of a pull than for kids just saying, well, we're going to go that direction and we're not going to be dependent upon what state officials have to tell us about certain things?
See your numbers in your high school softball teams compared to your numbers this spring or whenever it is to ASA. Yes, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I know there'll be a pull. You have a great program at Rock Ridge. You have a great program at Almond, people like that. There's going to be a Moline. There's going to be a pull for young people because you're going to be playing right at the end of what would be your high school season compared to your ASA. And a lot of them believe that – a lot of young people believe that they can be noticed to play at the next level through their ASA stuff.
All right. I don't like that.
Neither do I, Jimmy.
And I know you don't like that, Glenn Cook, right?
I love the high school.
You say bleed for the maroon.
Yeah,
you
right.
say bleed for the maroon and hate the Chargers and hate the Tigers and hate the Golden Eagles.
Johnny was there.
I was
when
there
when
he said
that.
You were? I was. Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. I couldn't get my hand in his mouth quick enough.
He told me off the air. He says, "Do you remember how that happened?"
He had to walk me
Johnny?
With his tail between his legs over to Sherrard and apologize.
I did. I called Orion and I went to Sherrard. Johnny was there and he told me. Him and Dan both told me. Now, you be careful. Off the air, it was a commercial.
Dan Birch.
You said, now, don't say that. Don't say that because – and I said, oh, no, they'll understand. I tell you what, Sherrard played the town – Beardstown the next night at Augustana.
Oh, that's a great game, man.
Super sectional baseball game. I mean, you'd have thought I was Hitler. I went to that game. I had a guy get in my face. He called me every name in the book. He did not understand what I meant.
I warned you.
I know you did. I love Sherrard. I love Orion, but there's nobody I'd rather beat than Sherrard. That's all I meant.
Well, and I think most rational people understand that. And
they weren't evident.
But this is the thing about it's so funny that you say that because to me, I don't want to get in conference affiliation stuff forever, but you need local rivalries, geographic rivalries.
Oh, my goodness.
And when you don't have those, one of my favorite stories a couple years ago, you know, with the track, and I love all the people that all the member schools that participate in the track, but I just believe, and I know there's certain rules and protocols that they have to follow, but with football, you know, Sherrard's in a different division than Rock Ridge and Orion. But I just think every year Rock Ridge, Orion, and Sherrard in that track
they have to play.
Should play. So, you know, Sherrard and Rock Ridge didn't play for a four-year stretch.
Yep.
And then for the next 4 years, Sherrard and Orion aren't going to play, and they co-op in some sports. And I was doing a game a couple years ago, a game in Peru at St. Bede. It was St. Bede and Sherrard, and that was a conference game on the track. I get the Rock and Mississippi mixed up. One's the big school side and one's the small school side. And so St. Bede, they have a campus radio station,
yep.
And they have LPO in LaSalle. So I'm sandwiched between two stations there. Okay, and if you've ever been to St. Bede, man, that is a beautiful. It's like a small college campus. It's the environment. It's just I really love the setting. But the one
that's the only time I got kicked out of a baseball game is at St. Bede.
But the one guy looks at me and he goes, he said, well, what's the nickname of Sherrard?
Yeah.
And I'm like, jeez, this is a conference game.
How do you
game.
Not know that?
But I mean, that's the thing about, I know. About that's my one problem, is we can argue about all the things, but I think maintaining local geographic rivals as it relates to interscholastic athletics is important, because we get to this discussion about club sports versus interscholastic sports, and I think kids get excited when...
Oh, my goodness.
Communities get excited when it's geographic rivals playing against one another. And I think you lose that when you don't have that.
There's a revenue side to this, too. Oh, and I don't want to be that guy.
But it's the truth.
It is huge for those rivalries.
Because Sherrard hasn't had a lot of success in football in the last 10 years or whatever. But 2 years ago, I did Sherrard Orion. It was week one. And I remember Michael Applegate told me, biggest gate they've had in I forget how many years. And you saw it in the crowd. And I just think that is a part of high school athletics that needs to be maintained. How we ever get back to that, I don't know.
Well, Glenn, what's the biggest crowd at Rock Ridge? Not to listen to this silly old play-by-play, or the PA guy who thinks he's a play-by-play guy.
What's no, it, I don't
I mean, is Rock Ridge, is it Orion? Whoever comes calling, that I've been
I would
there for
say
that.
It would Orion. Be I'll say Rock Ridge's biggest rival unequivocally would be Mercer County.
In football?
Anything.
Football especially.
Now, the playoff game especially with Orion football. and Rock Ridge.
Oh, they've been great games in all sports.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Glenn, you couldn't get into town that day.
No.
Thank goodness for Matt Randazzo and Channel 8, because I'd been standing out on the road.
That is so exciting to get there.
I would say most people indirect fans. Okay, gotcha. If I'm speaking to Alito, if I talk to somebody... And this, I love the member schools of the Lincoln Trail Conference. They've been great to Mercer County. I'm not getting in to the competitive standpoint of what conference is better or what teams are better, but I'm just saying, if I talk to Grandma June at McDonald's this morning and say you're going to go to Mercer County Princeville tonight,
yep,
probably not.
Okay,
the Rock Ridge is playing Mercer County tonight. You may go to that game. You haven't been to a game in a while. Probably, because they associate those friendships and those colleagues from those people for many years. And I just that's why I always harp about local rivalries, and I think they're important.
And I've got my earbuds to listen to you and John.
That's right.
It's how many dads went to Sherrard and then moved to Rock Ridge or the other way around.
Exactly.
And so their kids are playing. I mean, it's ingrained. It's been going on forever. You know, the first time Rock Ridge, well, it was Reynolds High School then, played Sherrard, when Sherrard had the ball, they played six-man football, and when Rock Ridge or Reynolds had the ball, they played 11-man.
Really?
Same game, yep.
What? Did you strike the field for that one?
Pardon me?
Did you strike the field for that one?
No.
Wait a minute, was six against 11?
What, pardon me?
Explain that again. What happened?
When Reynolds had the ball, the Rockets, I'll just say when Unit 300 had the ball.
Unit 300.
It was 11-man football. When Sherrard had the ball, it was 6-man football.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What year would that have been?
1947. Wow. Yeah.
You My dad 80. Played 6-man.
Pardon me?
You are 80.
I know I'm 80. I'm happy to be 80. I'm proud of it.
All right, so... Can you get into, like, from a national sports scene? So, like, today Gonzaga plays Iowa at 11 o'clock, and Iowa State plays Oklahoma.
Talk about poor timing.
Yeah, I know. But you know, I tried to the one night. You know, there's so much excitement and enthusiasm regarding Illinois basketball this year and Iowa basketball. And I tried the one night to watch Illinois when they played in Durham against Duke. And I only watched about 8 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
Can you get into it or not?
No, absolutely. Because A, no crowds, and B, I really don't get along with Fran McCaffrey, so I can't listen to him. So the other side of it is
Gary Dolphin doesn't get along with
him
either.
And here's the other thing. There's not a finer dude in this world than Gary Dolphin.
Boy,
he buys cars in the Quad Cities or something.
Yeah, I happen to know Gary.
There's not a better man. And or the football. Say what you want. Football coach is above reproach too, so we'll move on. But Cameron Indorf, there's something about that joint. And there's something about Illinois, the Orange Crust, those crazies.
Yeah.
And you know, Iowa fans, they're getting better. They used to sit on their hands, but now they're much better. The students are into it. I love that atmosphere. You just can't. Football's, I think, a different animal because you're so locked in. It's so physical. And you really, we got limited to two tickets in the state championship game. And I asked my son, does that bother you? He goes, dude, I don't look up. So he goes, I can't hear a thing. So, and I never could hear anything coaching, except that one or two parents.
Yeah.
But you block it out. So I think football's a little less, but basketball is certainly, because you're inside a gymnasium.
Have either of you been to Cameron Indoor?
No, I have not.
Put that on your list, because it is, my daughter had a baby that lived 6 months and died, and his 6 months was in that Duke University Hospital. So we spent some time there, and I got to go over to one day. I just went over and went through it. I was all by myself, went through the place.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, it is amazing. It is a glorified – I love Wharton Fieldhouse, okay? It's a glorified – it's in immaculate condition. It's all oak. It's just a beautiful place. It really is. 9,000 people.
Is that what it seats?
9,000.
Yeah. Best field house in the world is Wharton Fieldhouse.
I go along with that.
And what Rock Island has done with its new bleachers, oh, my Lord,
I've
fellas.
Seen pictures of them.
Oh,
yeah.
It's off the chart. New football field or new turf, new bathroom.
Isn't that a great facility?
And we need to play. So,
I'm pushing for artificial turf at Rock Ridge football.
Smart
I'm really
move, fellas.
That.
Anywhere
I
you
don't
go.
Care what it costs.
Oh, just because he doesn't want to stripe the field right. Is 20 below.
It's going to be terrible.
I will tell you that my son played on grass at Regina, and it was like playing on the ninth green at Augusta. That guy, whoever that dude is amazing.
Yeah.
It's...
So could you get into artificial crowd noise with, like, Major League Baseball?
No, I couldn't get it.
See, I could. I really? Liked it. I appreciate
it. I love the game. I turned the television off and listened to radio because I like, may God strike me, Pat Hughes when it's Cub stuff. And, of course, anytime I get Mike Shannon on your station, life's pretty good. Forever. And I know he's 80, he's 100. I understand that.
And he always defaults to Bob Gibson stories.
Yes.
I like him, too.
So do I.
And I know a lot of Cardinal fans that don't like him. And I think
I like Mike Shannon.
And I think his...
I saw him play.
I think his interview style, I've come to appreciate his interview style. Because I don't know if I've told you the story, John Marks. I like radio history in the Quad Cities because there's so much radio history in the Quad Cities. And I don't know if I ever told you the story about Charlie Steiner. He had Charlie Steiner on. He does on Saturday nights, he does the Live at Shannon's
right.
Or Friday nights or whatever night it is. And he had Charlie Steiner on. And Charlie Steiner was telling, he got into his career story. Okay. And so most people know he went to Bradley.
Yep.
So he was telling his story, how he got from New York. He grew up in New York. Got to Bradley because he heard about Bradley basketball through the NIT and wound up, knew they had a broadcasting school, went there. And so his first job was at WIRL, which is a low power AM in Peoria. And he was doing like hog markets and stuff like that. So he's telling the story. And he said,
it's a great
so
gig.
I'm like laying in bed with my earbuds on, falling asleep. And he goes, then my next stop, and he goes, and this is so perfect. He goes, my next stop, he goes, it was so great, he goes, it was my worst experience in radio. He goes, a little radio station on the Mississippi River in Davenport, Iowa, KSTT. I'm like, what? Wait, what? And then, so I listened to some, like, media podcasts. So one day, they're talking to Vern Lundquist, who I love. Did you know he went to seminary school at Augie?
Can you
believe that? Yeah. And then like Milo Hamilton, who's in the
fourth. John Fossey.
Yeah, and then Milo Hamilton worked at KSTT. Yeah. But I mean that type of stuff, I think is just great learning.
It wasn't just Spike.
Yeah, it wasn't just Spike. There's a lot of people that came through. But anyway.
Well, KSTT is KJOC, right?
Yeah, now it is.
Yeah.
So I was curious because I was going to call you the one day. I was curious when. What was that 2 weeks ago when I forget what TV station it was that decided not to have the NFL football game on the one day.
Paula Sands.
Yeah. Well, oh, what's your take on all that?
You can't cut into Paula. It was a Steelers game, and people lost their minds. I've been through that. It was, no, you can't. They used to, would you preempt something for Iowa basketball 100 years ago? Heck no, your local programming, you can't cut. I know, Steeler fans, go ahead. It's just go ahead. I'll give you my phone number in a minute. But it was, you don't cut into Paula. You so all know that.
Yeah, and John Hoshite was saying the same thing here is about local program trumps that.
Of course it does.
But I will say
you build
this,
locally.
But I will say this too. You know, I've never seen as much criticism on a decision, and I wanted to say, well, wait a minute. I thought all you people were boycotting the NFL, but they sure are not. That's for sure.
What I didn't like was Joey, and I like Joey Donnie, he's a friend of mine.
He had to be the front man for
it. He came up and he had to be to say, hey,
The only thing, my issue with that was initially they tried to justify it and defend it, and then they said we erred. They made the callous mistake of saying we erred, and I'm like, don't
wear
that.
It. Yeah, but just, the other thing is Paula Bills locally. Paula's a legend, like Glenn. So you just wear that. No, I knew it was going to happen. I mean, I've been here long enough to know that it wasn't going to change.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Well, this is a little off the subject, but, you know, the Gale Sayers game of the 6 touchdowns against San Francisco was blacked out here. Did you guys know that?
No. That would have been what year?
You talk to people all the time. Oh, yeah, I watched 66. That game. No, they didn't. They didn't watch it here. It was blacked out here, and I was livid.
Glenn worked that game.
you were, John Marks, you were on recently with Jim Burton's on PBS.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a great conversation, and I just caught it. I'm a channel flipper, and I'm like, what's Marks doing? And then I'm like, wait a minute, he's calling Jim Burton's Jimmy. He only calls me Jimmy. No, but what do you think? I always like to get it. So I always like to get reaction from you. Where are we at media-wise, you think, locally?
Locally?
You feel good about where we're at still?
Here's don't take offense.
No.
You know how I feel about you and John Hoshite. Nobody does it better. Television, sadly. And now you have news director. Alan Baker's as good a news director as there is.
He's from Aledo, Illinois.
Tyler Hedrick's wife at Channel 6 does a great job. And Mike Mickle has done tremendous work at Channel 4.
Now, and they got a producer at Channel 4 by the name of Ty Taylor.
There you go. But everybody's, you go hyper-local, which we did in the newspaper business 100 years ago, hyper-local, and you do features. Now, the only problem is you've gotten...
Instead of chasing ambulances, you're talking about... I agree with that.
Yes, and make it about life and people. I think that's your key. They do a great job, all of them. You know how I feel about Matt Randazzo. I don't think there's anybody better as a person or as a local sportscaster. The other side of that is... big market, I mean, bigger companies, they're not paying kids. They're getting kids that are inexperienced, not paying them anything, and that's how they're doing it. And you got one or two anchors that are recognizable. There always will be Paula. We always need her. Are they going in the right direction? I believe so. But the future of television scares me with the broadcast itself. I don't know if it's going to be a podcast, if it's going to be phased out, or in 10 years from now we'll see the same model. But we're lucky with people like Mertens.
When you say the same model, you're talking about, you know, first block
three and
news,
a half minutes,
then,
first,
then
yeah,
weather,
yep,
then sports.
And the good thing about this is they have cut weather's no longer. I mean, you have your beginning, and then you always throw it to them after the first 4 minutes, et cetera. But weather, there's so many accessibility, everything is but a click away. So
yeah, it's an on-demand.
Yes. Do I still think we need it for local? Yeah. Do I think it'll be bare bones in 10 years? Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
I just want to say, you brought up Matt Randazzo, and what a great guy he is. And
this has turned into the Matt Randazzo Love Fest.
Love Fest.
And Corey.
Corey's the best.
They're nice people. You know, they're good people.
And Celia,
Jake Kidwell is too. Jake Kidwell is a good, hard worker.
You meet Celia Palermo. We had her on Sportsline the one day.
She does a nice job, Glenn.
She's great.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Celia Palermo. Go ahead. What do you want to say, John?
Could you just ask Cook if he's going to Menards after today?
Are you going to Menards after today, Glenn Cook?
No. I wish we had time for me to tell that story because it's embarrassing, but
Go ahead, tell it. You got time.
One day, we played in a golf outing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Glenn Cook, yeah, by the way. Go
we
ahead.
We played in a golf outing with John and his lovely wife, Jo. And yesterday was her birthday, by the
Saint
way, or
the
day
she
before.
Is.
And my wife, Ann, and I, we won the T-bone. It was, and we won a whole bunch of T-bone steaks. And John wanted to come up one day, and he was in the Quad Cities, and he called me, and he says, hey, he says, I'm up here. He said, I'll bring these steaks over. Well, I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if I was tired. What I just didn't want to deal with John Hoshite that day. So I said, oh, John, I'm not going to be home. Just put them on. No, he says, what are you doing? And well, I had to make up something. So I said, I'm going to Menards. Oh, what are you going to Menards for? Well, I didn't have anything. I wasn't even going to Menards. So I had to make up something that I was going to Menards. I said, some string for my trimmer. So to make a long story short, I had to go clear out to Menards in the height of the rush hour traffic and get this stupid thing of string for my trimmer. And that's where I met John to get my steak. So
you were honest about him and told that, right?
Yeah, I told.
Only Glenn would tell us that story and be honest about it. Yeah. Only Glenn.
All right. So we got that out of the way. So yep. I want to get back to you, John Marks, about media with the trickle down. From, I still feel media in, you know, you can call it mainstream media or whatever you want to call it, the how we've become hyper political and people always default if they don't like something.
Yep.
All right, especially at the national level, it's fake news.
It's fake news.
So I stay away from a lot of the comments on a lot of the news sites, but sometimes I'll just go in and read it.
Sure.
And it's lowest common denominator stuff, but you notice the trickle down. I'm noticing the trickle down now of local media now being told that they're kind of fake news a lot of the times too. If and basically the default is you're just not agreeing with what
you don't
the
agree
facts of the story. Yeah. Do you worry about that?
I do, because it's, and I'll use two examples. CNN is so slighted to one side, and Fox News is so slighted to the other. And I learned from Jim Fisher 100 years ago, who we all know. That and when you do this talk, you have to take a side. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. what. And I'm a conservative. So that for those of you, yes, I made fun of Donald Trump, but I'm a conservative. So that may tell you something. The other side of it is, yes, if your point of view doesn't agree with my point of view, and I know he's in the final stages of his life, Rush and Hannity on one side, and pick somebody, you know. Whitzer or whoever else are always so pro one side that's the way it is. No, that doesn't. Local, we don't care. And as somebody, you understand this. We don't have a dog in the fight. We're here to tell a story, and we're here to report the news. We aren't going to slight it. We're mainstream. And anybody that tells you the media who's standing behind a microphone has had a press pass somewhere along their life. That makes them a member of the media.
Yeah.
So don't let any talking head tell you that they're not. That's what bothers me. Yes, our locally we're all being lumped into, you know, I worked for a Republican newspaper one time, and then I worked for a liberal. Oh, my God, you're so liberal. No, I'm the most non-liberal dude in America. But we get pigeonholed.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
So, but...
But we're not doing it here.
But the thing that frustrates me about is the consumer, but you don't like to tell them, if there's a box or two boxes or three boxes or four boxes on your TV and
yep.
there's people talking, that's not news, that's opinion.
That's opinion.
So, and that's what people need to understand.
They get paid to do that.
Yeah, and that's the opinion, and you can oppose the opinion, but calling that all fake news and lumping everybody within that into fake news, because most of those shows now on Fox or CNN, there are boxes, four or five or six boxes on the screen, and every one of the guests is giving an opinion on
yep.
something.
Well, okay, use CNN as one example, and I don't want to get too deep in the rabbit hole, but they put during the election every coronavirus statistic there was under the sun. Flip the Fox, and you didn't see that stuff. And that's it's just the way things are, because Fox is pro-conservative, and CNN is as left as you're going to get. So,
all right. So, Glenn Cook, what about the local media? What do you think as a consumer of it?
I think that it needs to be more local. Like, that's why WMJ is such a great station. And I wish we could get back to the Don Sharps of the world. And
amen, brother.
Amen.
You know, they know they know who they're talking to, you know. I just, didn't you love it when Don would go down to the, Don Sharp was in a class of his own. I mean, when he used to go down to the state basketball tournament and he would announce games all day long, Jerry Warner was his sidekick. And I remember one time it was late in the day and they'd done several games and they were tired and Don said, this kid was shooting a free throw and it hit the front rim. And John said, his shorts are shot. And Jerry says, yeah, and his socks don't look too good either. But I mean, but I miss, don't you miss the local, yeah, the local flavor?
Yep. And I like the fact that anytime you can see a feature on a high school athlete, I know that, Phil, we don't need scores anymore. We know that.
Yeah.
We know the score before they get there. That I think if they continue to make it a local feature of some kind on somebody somewhere.
And I would agree even on the news side, what yep. you were talking about. Yep.
Can I add one little more thing about WRMJ? When John, you know, everybody comes to a time when they leave, okay? When that happens here at WRMJ, I have no idea what I'm talking about, but that doesn't never stop me before. I worry about what's going to happen to this little station. I hope that it stays just the way it is. I mean, you guys do such a, and I know I keep saying this, but you guys do such a great job.
Can I say something he's done?
Yeah.
Don't you think there have been a gazillion people knocking on John Hoscheid's door through the, and it's just like, now take Blackhawk State Bank, and I'm, you know, not for sale. There have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of huge, huge banks that knocked on Jerry Huiskamp's door from 1980 something until yesterday, and
want to buy out?
No, don't need to. We're going to do it, and we're going to stay here. We're going to do it the right way. We'll stay in the Quad Cities.
Awesome.
We'll extend
that's
to Princeton,
really
Illinois,
big.
Or Princeton, Iowa, and Aledo, and we will take care of the people in this community.
Yeah.
I'll buy your station.
Well, and that's, I can just speak to it from a media standpoint.
Stay.
If you have ownership that is directly tied and invested in the community, and John lives in Aledo,
yep.
That is, because when people say local radio, I'm like, well, I'm talking about, the definition of local radio is
hog markets and funerals.
Well, the guy lives in Aledo,
yes.
And he's on the air every day.
Yes.
That's local radio.
That's local radio.
Yep.
And that model works.
So just for people, if they're media people that are working here, and I know sometimes they get, and I get it, man. We're big mouse, and I admit there's ego in this business, and I have ego. But
I don't know how we got you and me in here.
but here's local radio. What I mean is a definition. Okay, so if I can't make it to something, city council meeting, county board meeting,
yep,
whatever, who goes? John Hoscheid.
Yep.
So you
or somebody.
Me, no, but he goes.
Okay.
The owner of the station.
So I'm saying
yep.
That's what I mean by local radio. So, okay, when it snows here, okay, who's shoveling the sidewalk?
I understand.
The owner.
Yeah. No. I used to work for a family newspaper.
Yeah, I mean, so I know that's the when you say hyper-local, I want people to understand that's hyper-local.
That's right.
And that's so in terms of, you know, why it works the way it works, it's not really that complicated of an equation. Now, unfortunately, you know, the way it works now, it's corporate ownership of a lot of different things. And sometimes you just can't meet the local needs if your decisions aren't being made
by people
in Aledo. So if WRMJ, let's say a company owned WRMJ from San Antonio, Texas, would the product be the same? Probably not.
Absolutely not. No. Because you're going to chase, instead of going down the street or next door to SA Gulfring and ask them, hey, you know what? We got a basketball game on Friday night. What do you think? Or they're not. Somebody from San Antonio is not going down to going uptown.
Yeah, that's right.
And knock on somebody's door.
That's right. All right. So will you promise me as we're winding down here on December the 19th of 2020? So that means next year we'll do this again.
That's a deal.
In 2021, promise me that there'll be a holiday basketball tournament we'll be covering this week.
I will be, if we can't be on doing it on the 19th, or the Saturday before Christmas, because next year we will be doing I will be doing the shootout on television.
Let's go.
There you go.
So that much I can guarantee. I'm going to guarantee you there'll be going to be a high school football season.
Hey, can you get Rock Ridge in the field there next year at the IH Mississippi Valley Credit Union shootout? Do you pull your weight, throw your weight around there?
I'd have to ask Pete. I thought they already had the seven.
Well, get them in and have them match up against one of the top small schools in Iowa from the eastern side.
Great idea. Okay, I'll talk.
And we'll do that we'll do that in the 5:30 game, and then you do the Metro.
Here's what I'll guarantee you. When we get done
and then
with
Cook and PA that 5:30 game.
There we go. If you can remember where Augustana is.
Right down the street.
When we're done with this, my first text out of here is to Tournament Director Pete Ivanek.
Okay. Cook?
Yep.
Now, no guarantees, but, you know, you buy a Pete of Harris Pizza and
a
six-pack of beer.
Who does Allman open up with in the seven-week schedule this year if there's football? Do you know?
Moline or Rock Island.
Oh, awesome,
there are no gimmies.
Yeah. And then do the Rockets?
Might be Sterling.
The Rockets open up with Oregon, don't they, in that seven-week schedule,
yeah.
I think?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Let's do it.
I just want to play.
And you better don't wimp out on striping the field.
No, I won't. I'm going to do it.
Not with the 37 helpers you got either. Come on, big boy.
I don't have
step
37
up. Oh, yeah,
helpers.
You do.
I have one guy, Mike Kramer.
To keep the strength.
And then
straight.
The high school kids come down to help.
All right. John Marks, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Great to see you as always. We should do this more often, and it's always great to be in the same building with Glenn Cook, too. So
yeah, Merry Christmas,
this
everybody.
This will be a rite of
thank
passage,
you, Jim.
So we'll see you again
Thanks,
next year.
Pal.
All right.
Good to see you.
Good to see John Marks and Mr. Glenn Cook on WRMJ.